Hey, if anybody's on right now, I will be just there in a couple of seconds. I need to finish something up real quick.
Roger, Roger.
Hey guys, I hear a bunch of you moving around. I'll be there in one second. I just made a mistake I have to fix.
Everybody wants to say hi to the birthday boy.
Who's the birthday boy?
This one right here.
I can't see because I'm looking at something else, but you can tell me.
Okay, yes, my honey. My husband is going to be
72. Happy birthday.
Oh, sweetie. Happy birthday. And congratulations on all the amazing things you've been doing to support your health.
Quite an accomplishment.
Diana has kept us abreast, and I'm just thrilled for you. I think you're amazing.
See, honey, you got some kudos. See, we saw the eye doctor today. More good news.
Yay!
Wasn't even after our glasses anyway. But we still got some problems in the dark spot in his eye, but it's definitely getting better. We may have hit our limit, but we're going to try some new things and see what else we can do.
No.
Yep, we got a nerve that's over a year old being damaged. So anything that happens from now, it's going to be really fun.
Yes, look at anything that's neuroregenerative. You might want to look at Dr. Tom's book because he talks a lot about the brain and the nervous system and regeneration and stuff like that. He might have something in there.
Yeah. It's helped a lot to get him off the metformin because that was stealing all the B12, and that B12 really helps the nerves.
Oh my gosh, it's critical for the nerves.
Yeah, and the metformin was stealing it all. Plus, he's got a little bit of the 1298 gene. So, yeah, the B12 was just going bye-bye, and it wasn't being used. So now we got rid of that part. So his diabetes is under control and actually doesn't really even have.
No, you can't get diabetes under control. It's not terrible.
No, it's cured. It's cured. Sorry.
It's a non-curable disease. How can you cure a non-curable disease?
See, Marcia's going to play happy birthday for him on her flute. There we go.
Oh, sweet.
There you go.
That's awesome.
We definitely need to have downright miracles here. And yes, it can be done.
Totally is. And it's the miracle that's inside of every single one of us. It's not any, you know, it's that God-given healing, inner healer that we all have. We all just step on its toes for so many years and then expect it to work, and it doesn't.
But it can be fixed, even after...
It can be.
Yep.
Not at your age.
Yep, it doesn't. It's all in the heart, and it's in that magic that the body can do when we give it the right stuff.
And when we believe in its ability, because here's what I've found, that people tend to doubt it. And I mean, I don't know, I'm not particularly religious or anything, but I know there were the stories. The thing that just came to my mind was doubting Thomas, right? The doubters. And it's like, when you doubt that something is there and can be miraculously healed by the healing powers of the body, the healing miracle in the body, then it's not going to happen. But when we put out that positive, whatever you want to call it, vibration, prayer, et cetera, that, hey, I believe that my body can heal, then amazing things happen because we are amazing critters. Okay, I'm almost done. Sorry, I'm sending out an email to Celtic Keto Challenge and I kept messing up and I'm about to send it. Hopefully my link works now. Be right there. And of course my computer decides to go into chronic fatigue syndrome. But I need it to be zippy.
Well, I'll share a little something along that same line.
Yeah.
My mother has, and she's, I don't know, how old is my mother? She's almost 80. And so that she has been having some spotting, which was done, you know, decades ago.
Yeah.
And so she went to the doctor, and they're doing all sorts of tests and things to make sure she doesn't have cancer. Now, my mother had a double mastectomy 21, 22 years ago. So, you know, she's like, yeah, I'll just have them give me a hysterectomy and take it out. I don't use it. I'm like, well, taking out body parts doesn't mean you're not going to have cancer cells.
Of course.
And, you know, she's like, well, you know, my mother and her sisters had mastectomies and stuff like that. So if it's going to give me more life, it's worth it. And I'm not telling her not to do it.
No, there's times when it's possible, when you do it while you're making the other changes, because
right,
changes may
right.
take a long time and you want to get the unhealthy cells out. I totally get that.
Right. And that's what I'm having that conversation with her on. So, you know, she's been asking enough questions about the things that I've shared that she might be listening. But it's, again, it's that mindset, the allowance that the body can heal itself, that it has this ability, which it's harder to do when we're in that fear mode. You know, you hear that big C word and it's like, you know, it's like somebody just handed you a note that says you're going to die on this date. Mm-hmm. And if we don't see it that way, if we see that this is a message from your body, and we had this discussion, she and I, and at least she's listening to me about emotions that are held in your body. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but it's again, it's going to the capacity, the healing, miraculous capacity our body can have.
And it's all there, and you know, it's very disempowering. I'm moving my thing to a brighter, more lighting over here. It's very disempowering the way that, you know, a lot of the medical system works, which is you're doomed, here's your drug, et cetera. And then what it does is it puts that doubt, of course, in the mind, and it's that doubt that then interferes with the healing ability, and we believe it. And when we actually can get past those old limiting beliefs that play over and over again in our subconscious and believe in the ability of your body. If you're doing a lot of stuff and it's not yet getting better, you haven't hit the right stuff. You know, it's just there's something missing. And sometimes that something that's missing is a mindset or a, you know, psychological trauma or something like that. So we really just need to listen to it. So I'm excited about your mother. And I'm excited about Diana's husband and anybody else that's having any kind of, you know, great results or even tiny results. Because even the tiny result is a message from the inside that's saying, hey, you're on the right track. Oh, maybe we need to just divert a little bit. Let's find it. And that's not conventionally the way medicine approaches disease. It's like cut it out, drug it out, hope it doesn't come back, but it's probably going to. And I think, you know, I've been really excited having come just through doing this keto challenge. Am I missing again? Did I get knocked off? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. When I moved, I guess I knocked my camera out. Doing this healthy keto challenge. And I was telling some folks who said, oh, but I don't know how to go shopping. We've been through Sweet Spot or an ERC. Oh, I didn't get the shopping list in time. And I don't know. It's like, calm down. What I'm teaching here is basically what I've been teaching in Sweet Spot for the last 8 years. Okay, and some people have to be maybe a little more strict, a little less strict, but it's really that those concepts, and I think that the success that people have in the sweet spot is that they get into this mild nutritional ketosis where they get more efficient at burning their fat. And for some, you have to stay really tried and true, and then when you do really great and some people go back off and don't continue, then they lose some of the ground, and others don't have to, just need to be during the healing phase, during that reset phase, have to be super strict, and then you play with how much you can deviate. And I don't mean deviate by how many M&Ms you can eat in a week, right, or Twinkies or bagels or whatever. I mean by, can you add some lentils. But it doesn't mean go sit and have a big bowl of lentils. It means have a tablespoon or two and test your sugars and see how you react. Test your energy. Feel your energy. See what happens to your belly. Right? And we all want to just ease in. And I'm people say, oh, you're against fruit. And how could you be against fruit? It's such a healthy food. I'm not against fruit. I'm not against quinoa. I'm not against, there's not a lot of foods I'm against that I think that most people should avoid. It's that eat as much fruit as your body will let you. Whose doggy is that? Somebody's excited. Is that Marcia's? I think I recognize those barks. Like, how much can you do and still maintain balance, right? And I don't want to say that in terms of like how much abuse can we give our body and still keep it in balance, because that's what people do. Well, I've been smoking for 27 years and I don't have cancer yet, so it must be okay for me, right? I'm not talking that. I'm talking there are good foods and there are bad foods. And then there are the stuff that is good for some and good for others. And I would even argue sometimes that there's no such thing as the good foods, because some people have dysfunctions that don't allow them to handle, or temporary or permanent dysfunctions that don't allow them to handle. So anyway, it's just really exciting that when I went out there and called this the Keto Challenge, we got a ton of people signed up. And the exciting part for me is that some of these people are people that I've been talking to for 30 years about changing their diet. My sister, my brother-in-law, my husband's brother, my sister-in-law, his wife, a cousin who she's more holistic, but she joined us. An old friend who I've known forever, and she's known my quacky, weird ways of eating forever, but, you know, sort of followed it, but not really. She was there, and just seeing all these people. My aunt was on the call this afternoon. My aunt, who's in her, 70s or something, and she's married to my uncle, who is Mr. Conservative against me, what I do, because he thinks it's wacky. She was on my call this afternoon. She follows all my Facebook stuff. She's in the Unstoppable Health group. So it's like, by doing this, I'm reaching these family members. So don't give up on your family members. You may just have to go through other channels to get them there and tapping into what's popular right now. That's what I did, right? Everybody's talking keto. They're talking keto on the football game commercials. Oh, and this is keto friendly. Most of the people have no idea what that means, but oh, it's the latest fad diet, keto. So tapping into that and getting people's interest, but really teaching them that it's really about wholesome, healthy eating and balancing it for your body to keep your body's chemistry in balance. Does that make sense to everybody? You know, I'm not a big keto person. Like I said, everybody should be on keto for the rest of their lives. What I'm for is that balance that works for keeping your blood sugar in balance, your weight in balance, keeping you able to burn fat. But I liked what Dr. Alan Christensen said on the Facebook thing I did today, having that metabolic flexibility to be able to go, not to process, you know, beer and M&Ms, right? But to be able to process, oh, so here's some healthy carbs, here's some healthy fats, and be able to be there. And maybe you identify this as your best fuel. But what about, like, if you can't get this, you can deviate from it a little bit and still have the metabolic flexibility to not have it hurt you. Now, not everybody's there yet, right? That's what we're working on with you here in this program, is to figure out what are all those factors that are playing in. And as we know, it's not just about food, right? It's not just food. And it's the sleep, and it's the mindset, and it's the meditation. And the other thing we know, and this was really reinforced this weekend in this class that we did with Michelle Gamble did this weekend class, and I just wanted to go. I mean, I know heart math forever, but she said to me and some of the other people, like, why are you here? What are you going to learn from this? I feel like I learn from everybody. And if I learn one thing, if I go to a weekend workshop and I learn one thing that changes my perspective for the better, or that gives me a way to word something that's going to help me get through to something, it was worth it. You know, plus I got to hang out with Marcia all weekend long, which was amazing. And Sandy and Gail and Michelle and some other beautiful people that Marcia brought together. And what it reinforced for me is the magic of heart math, the magic of connecting to your heart, and the magic of stopping multiple times throughout the day, not just meditating for a half an hour and go, check, did it, check, did it, but keeping that that presence, that poise, that connection between heart and brain together all day long. And it doesn't just mean, okay, now's my heart math time, click, 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 okay, I'm good, you know? It's like really dropping in and connecting to your heart. And so I did get something from her, was a reminder of counting the breaths, right? So let's all take a nice deep breath in, and we're going to count, breathe into the count of four. So we're going to go in, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, and keeping that rhythmic pace and just focusing on that for three breaths. That could be enough to switch you from the crazy monkey mind, lack of coherence, and lack of healing brain into the healing brain. Even if you just do that once, and you do it every hour, just. And then if you add focus on your heart, like really focus your attention on your heart. And out. And then if you add the appreciation, or the mini vacation, as I like to call it, transporting yourself in space and time to a place where you're in the presence of people or surroundings, nature, that makes you feel like, ah, and that you can really recall a feeling of appreciation. It's amazing. And Marcia said what amazed her was the difference between relaxation and coherence, right? That coherence, when you see that on the device. And I've always been, who needs the device? It's just a device. But in reality, when you're first learning it, it is a great tool because you can see, oh, wait, I'm not really there yet. And Marcia, can I share what we did yesterday with your blood pressure with that?
Yeah, you always have permission to share.
Okay, so Marcia was, you know, there was a lot going on. She entertained all these people for the weekend, and then she couldn't find something, and she was starting to get her typical, she said, this is my typical pattern. And she had found, she had a spot in her eye, like a bloodshot spot in her eye. And she was kind of getting freaked out that maybe it was her blood pressure. Maybe it was, she's about to have a stroke. You know how the monkey mind plays, right? Oh my God, I laid in bed the other day and I'm like, oh my God, what's this chest pain? Why am I having chest pain? I can't fall asleep. And I turn, and then I went, you did 50 push-ups this afternoon and 3 minutes of plank. Why would your chest not be hurting, right? And then I went, oh, it's just muscle pain. Went to sleep. So we have these crazy monkey minds that come up with the worst possible prognosis. And so Marcia did her blood pressure and it was high. And I said, come sit down next to me. We're going to put you on. And I put her on the little ear probe and I showed her what to do. I had it on my phone and she went through and did it. And her blood pressure came down. What was it? 20 points? It was a significant amount in just doing it for fun.
Yeah, the bottom was about 17 or so points, 16 or
yeah.
20.
Yeah.
To 81 from like 97 or something.
Yeah, so significant from hypertension, 97, to not hypertension, 81, right? So these things can work. And I could tell as I watched her that she was, I think you would have been better if you were alone doing it and you didn't have so much else around you. But I think you train yourself to do that more frequently and catch yourself before you go into this hypertension state. And it can make a huge difference. So I'm just excited. You did buy the inner balance for your phone. Yeah, that's right. You had the inner balance for your phone. She just didn't have it set up on hers yet. So she used mine, which was already set up. So, anyway, I just wanted to share some of those things to just allow us to really not get in the way of the healer and allow ourselves to just, you know, just be patient with your body. It took decades to get to the point it's at. It's not going to shift in 5 days, but it was really exciting to find for these folks that came into this challenge relatively new to it to see people quoting this or writing that they were down 2 or 3 pounds and 1 or 2 inches that quickly. So that like reinforces. And well, Barbara, I loved, can I share what you said, Barbara? Yes? No? Oh, I can't hear you, Barbara. Maybe it's, no.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
D- Do you mean me? Yeah, of course.
Yes, can I? Yes. So Barbara won one of the prizes on one of the days, and I sent her her gift card, and she sent me a beautiful, beautiful thank you note. Really touched me. But what she said was, I was so glad that you said it was, this was you, right? 5 days. Because I said, oh, 5 days, I can do this. If I had said this was a 6-week program, 3-week program, something like that, and it was longer, she'd go, oh, I don't have time for that now. So the fact that we said, okay, let's just try this for 5 days. And if you start to see, oh, okay, I can continue this. I can do more of this. I'm excited by this. It's a great way to do it. So it goes back to how do you eat an elephant? How do you climb Mount Everest? I know Lynn and I always go, well, I don't know. We don't like that phrase, right? How do you eat an elephant? We don't want to eat elephants. But how do you climb Mount Everest? It's one step at a time. It's not like you don't expect to just bound up to the top. And that's how our health journeys are. So this is the end of the month. And what I'd love to do, the end of the quarter as well. It's the end of the month. It's the end of the quarter. So we started September. We had September, October, November. Oh, wait, it's not the end of the quarter, Lynn. We miscalculated. That's not until the end of February. Well, you can share anyway. So we have 90-day plans for nothing. But it's,
No.
We had September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June,
July. We started in August.
Pre-work in August, but the official start was September. So we go through the end of August. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you did that and you have reevaluated your goals and you want to talk about, I'd love to hear from you on that. Otherwise, we'll just do that in February. But I'd love to hear from you anyway if you did that, because it's good to tune in, you know, on a regular basis to what's my goals, how close have I come to it, and to celebrate how far you've come. Because I've said this many times and it's worth repeating. Here you are. Here's your goal. And da 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 da, and you get here. And what do most people measure when they say, was I successful? They measure this distance, right? Between where they got to and where they wanted to get to. They're measuring the wrong gap. What about this gap? What about the distance between where you came from and where you got? That's what we all need to celebrate. We all need to learn to be less hard on ourselves and celebrate our accomplishments. I've had plenty of accomplishments that I haven't made. I was at the edge on the last day for the keto challenge, because I told Marcia and Lynn, we're getting 5,000 people to sign up for this thing. And everybody thought I was nuts, 5,000 people to sign up for this thing. So it was the day before, and I'm right, Marcia, we need 150 more people. Then it was like, oh, we only need 50 more people. Oh, we only need 20 more. And by the end of the first day of the challenge, we were over 5,000. And now we're over 5,100. People keep signing up for it. So it's like, set your goal. But I didn't make my goal by the start of the challenge. I was real close. So I was celebrating not, oh my God, we're 450 short. I was celebrating, holy cow, we have 4,900 or 850 people. And that's a bunch of lives that we can help to support. So always measure from where you started to where you got to. And then you can look seriously at the gap and go, huh, I wonder, why didn't I make it? Was it an unrealistic goal? Were there some unforeseen circumstances that got in the way? Did I maybe, you know, make a few mistakes along the way? We all make mistakes. Did I have the wrong plan? Did I divert? And then we go and we make a new plan that takes us in the direction of where we're going. It's one step at a time. I know it can be frustrating sometimes if you're not getting there, but there's a bunch of comments. Is there anything in the comments that I should be looking at? And anyway, by the way, those of you in Michelle's group, Michelle Gamble's group, oh my God, she was awesome. She did such a great job of this weekend workshop. And I'm thinking we're going to, I was thinking of pulling her in at the end of the mindfulness pillar for BFF and have her do a more extended, because I talk about the heart method and we do these short things and you have your 30 day, but there's nothing like immersion. You know what I mean? There's nothing like immersion in practice. And I'm thinking I'm going to talk to her, and she was open to it. We're just going to see if we can work it out of bringing her in for a special, not just a special hour long thing, because that's just nothing. Just like one of these virtual retreat days that we do, like a 4-hour kind of thing where we can really immerse ourselves. Is anybody interested in that? to like really practice that stuff for a half a day and really get that feeling. It'd be really cool if it was in person, of course, because then we can have our little devices and try them out and do that. But it's still a good thing to do. And if anybody, we can get information out to you before that if you want to get that. I think I might be able to link it. If you make a note of this, we can look into it, because I had an account with HeartMath and I may be able to get with them and see if we can get like a bulk order and get a discount on the HeartMath devices, because it is really a good feedback. I know, Jay, you tried it and you had a hard time with it, right? You like Muse better. And I personally use Muse more, but they're different. They really are. I mean, I tried to do Muse and HeartMath at the same time. I couldn't do it on the same phone. But another time I tried it, I had my iPad with one app and my phone with the other, and it worked really well.
And yeah, the HeartMath, you're trying to concentrate on the blue light going up and down, right?
Yeah.
You know, it just was, I was kind of stressing over being able to match that, and it was like, man, this is counterproductive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my sense of it. The Muse is a lot more something you can kind of relax into.
I think you're talking about the M-Wave as opposed
to the M-Wave device. As opposed to
I didn't like the M-Wave. I like the Inner Balance. The M-Wave was confusing for me too.
Yeah.
M-Wave. It's just a slide, and you're trying to pace with the breathing. But I think what Michelle really says, she goes, look, sometimes you may breathe faster than it. You can program it. You may breathe slower than it, but as long as it's rhythmic, you know, in and out and in and out, it can be real good. So anyway,
the other one is on your computer, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of versions, right? You have this, Inner Balance app that for the Android, it's Bluetooth. For the, iPhone, it's a cord, but they now have Bluetooth for the iPhone too. So it just attaches to the app.
That means you got to pay attention to a graphic, you know, whether it's on a device or not, you know, as opposed to the Muse, you just set it aside. You can close your eyes.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You do the sit. Because the way I did it for 5 minutes the other day, and I put it in, and I just said, okay, focus on my breathing. And I closed my eyes, and all I did was focus on my breathing, because I wanted to use it as a biofeedback device. Did I do it? You know, how well did I do with that? And then when I looked, I went, oh, you know, first I was in the blue and then I went into the green. And I've been doing it for a long time. So I set the challenge level up to 3 instead of 2. You'll start at 1. And so you look at it, you go, okay, let me try it again. And then you might do it for a minute and look and go, huh, I wasn't quite there. What did I do? And then, oh, I was there. Let me pay attention to that. But I would say don't sit there and watch it. In fact, what I did when I first got it was I plugged it in and I set it aside attached to my ear, and I just went about my business. Because the ultimate goal is to be in coherence as much of the time as you can while you're doing your normal stuff. And Michelle did assessments on all of us, and she had us just sit there and converse with her and hooked us up and measured it. And then she had us do the rhythmic breathing. And we haven't gotten the reports yet. She's going to give us reports on that.
Well, but does the Muse 2 also have coherence?
The Muse 2 has it.
Does it work?
And here's the thing. I had mentioned to Scott that you were asking about it. He wrote an email, and my husband gets a little confused sometimes. So I see him writing a letter, to a note to Rich. Oh, Rich, I heard you were interested in this, and he wrote this whole thing. And I'm like, no, it wasn't Rich. It was Jay. And I said, it was Jay. Why don't you send this note to Jay? And then he never sent it to you, I guess.
Well, he sent me like 5 words of something like it works good or something like that. And I just wanted to know the difference between the Muse 2 and the Muse 1, which I already have, and whether it's – I mean, I saw where some people were saying some of the features don't work, the new features.
Yeah, he was saying that the other day. So he'd be happy to talk to you if you want to.
So he's having trouble too?
He wasn't having trouble at first, but now he said something is having trouble. They were saying that the software stops or something.
My sense of it, reading all the comments, was that maybe it's not ready for prime time and they need to work on
it. Might be that they released it.
I'm just putting off buying. You know, I just want to know.
I would. Because I was going to get one too. And he wanted one, so I got it for him for Christmas. And he was going to get one for me for Christmas, but they were out of stock. So I said, good, I'll just wait for you to see it. And if you get it working right and I really like it, I'll try it a few times and I'll get one. Otherwise, I'll just stick to my M-Wave and not my M-Wave, but my Inner Balance. But yeah, try it, Jay. Like, do you have like a phone and an iPad that you could try it on 2 things at once? Or no, you have the device. You don't have.
No, I'm Android.
Okay. You know,
I have it on my computer, my laptop here.
Okay, so here's what I would do. You take your, you have the little device that does the letter. So you just
hook it up. I've got both. Yeah, I've got both.
Okay, so you hook it up, and then you hook up your Muse. It's separate devices, so you can do them simultaneously. And just focus on your meditation with the Muse and see what happens with the heart map. And then while you're doing the Muse, focus on the rhythmic breathing and see if that changes your Muse. I was talking to somebody who's a colleague of mine. Some of you know her, Dr. V. She does breast cancer stuff. And she said that she's found that she does both. And she said when she does the heart breathing on the phone, she gets like tons and tons of birds. Her birds are just chirping away. And then I talked to somebody else. Who was that? Who said she plays around, like walking around doing it. I think it might have been her too, that she'll just try like, what happens if I just wear the thing and I'm walking around? And she actually did that with the Muse and the heart mat thing, because that's what you want, right? You want your day to day. You don't want just to have these concrete separate times that it happens. Anyway, we'll explore more of that in, let's see, I think it's March's Body Freedom Foundation. Lynn says it's just the ear cord. Yeah, the ear cord is what it is. You get the software for free, but you can't do anything with the software without the cord. So you're really, you know what I mean? You're really paying for the whole thing. Yeah, and you don't have to get Bluetooth. You can get it as just a little cord from your iPhone. Yeah. They said it, the way that Michelle explained it, maybe you can chat with Michelle Gamble, you know, just ask her about it on the Facebook page or private messenger. But she said that the way they explained it is that it's a signal going out, but not in. Right? So this thing is sending a signal to the phone, but not, it's not sending it to your body, if that makes sense. And I don't know, you know more about EMFs and maybe that doesn't make sense, but have a conversation with Michelle about what they said about it. Okay. Any questions about any of this? Because this is really important, and we will be doing, this will be a whole, our whole month of March module to really focus on this.
I did want to say, because on the HeartMath page, they have monthly calls with different people that go over topics like this. I'm a big subscriber to HeartMath and all of that. And so like one month they had Greg Braden on, and they just bring you through these pieces. So if you even go to the HeartMath Institute and subscribe, they have at least monthly podcasts. They have some really amazing things. If anybody's follows me on Facebook, my personal page, I will occasionally put some of those on there.
Here's what I would recommend we do then, Lynn. See, make a note to give Jazzy the link, or Francis, either one of them could edit the page, and look through the pages for the mindfulness, you know, when I talk about it, and put the link there and say, hey, you know, go here, subscribe, because there's some really great stuff. And this is just going to deepen and deepen and deepen. And it takes a while to get really good at this. When I came back from my instructor training, I went to instructor training because I wasn't really doing very well by reading the book and just doing the stuff. And so I first learned about heart math in probably, it was probably late 1990s, you know, like 1996 or seven, and got the book, and it was part of a coaching program I was in. But they didn't have all that they have right now. And so it was before the internet was big like it is. But then I went, I think it was 2004. It was probably 2003 that I went and did their training out in California in Boulder Creek. And I had a four-year-old at the time. I had a very, oppositional four-year-old at the time. He was two from age two till about age eight. Just if you have had kids, you understand what that means. And he was very oppositional, and it was just so hard just to say, honey, you need to clean up your toys and come to dinner now, or you left a bunch of toys in the hallway and it's time to clean them up, or anything at all, time to brush your teeth. He would be defiant, and it would be this battle, and he'd suck me in. So after going to this class, I'd be going, you know, okay, I'm going to use this technique called heart lock-in. And any of you who have been through the whole 30-day stress transformation, you've heard of it. And you got to experience it this weekend, Gail. But it was so amazing because I stood outside his bedroom and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And I imagined all the great features of this child, how his unwillingness to follow and be a follower was going to make him a great leader someday. And I just like all of this stuff, and I just pouring out love and standing outside his door and pouring out love. And I went in there, opened the door, and I say, Kevin, just like I normally would, Kevin, it's time to clean up your toys and come to dinner. He looked up at me, he said, okay, mommy. And I just about fell on the floor. Like just about fell on the floor, right? He picked up, because you can radiate that out. And another story I told some of you at the weekend was one of my clients, she was like really working on this and stressed. She was a hypervigilant and all. And that was before I did genes. So she was probably like lots of GADs because she was so, you know. And she said, you know, I'll get up in the morning. I'll do my heart math. I'll go in the kitchen. I'll be all ready. I'll make it breakfast, making my smoothie. I'm all happy. And then my husband walks in the room. And his energy is so, it just like pulls me down. It's grumpy. It's this and that. And I said, okay, we're going to practice heart lock-in. So I spent like 45 minutes on the phone with her practicing heart lock-in. She said she got it. She went down the next day. She goes in the kitchen and she does it before she goes in. She's doing this heart lock-in and she's radiating out all this great energy to him. He walks in the kitchen and he starts to do something. He like looked puzzled and then he looked at her and he said, what are you doing to me? And she said, what do you mean? What am I doing to you? She goes, I came in here ready to be grumpy and ready to yell at you for this, that, or the other thing. And he said, all I'm feeling is this incredible love and appreciation for you. What are you doing? And she explained. And he said, I want to learn it with you. So it makes a difference. And another one had a mother that was really challenging and she had to live with the mother. The mother was elderly and sick and she was living in a room in her mother's house for a while, and she had this dog, and this dog was like this hyper crazy dog because it had gotten attacked by bigger dogs a year ago, and it was always, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm on the phone with her, and I'm teaching her this. I said, this is what you need to do for your mother. Let's practice it. And she, the dog, I could hear the dog yap, yap, yap in the background, and I took her through it, and she goes through it, and all of a sudden I'm like, that dog got awfully quiet. She says, this is the most amazing thing. The dog is like laying at my feet, just looking contented. So it works on animals too, right? And it's basically you're going into that coherent state. You're going into that appreciation and love, and you're like generating that out. You can generate it to a person, into a space. She was just practicing it. She was just doing it out into the space, and the dog like crashed. So use it. And I have tons and tons of stories of people telling me those kind of things happening. So it's a really great way. You know how it goes, right? When you're really happy and you walk into a room and then suddenly you go, uh-oh, you know, like you feel that negative energy in the room and use it. Because the higher frequency, the stronger yours is, it's going to overpower them. So you walk in grumpy, 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 you can overpower somebody who's happy and in a coherent state, but you have to protect yourself. So when you are walking into a room and you don't know what's going to be in there, you just do a quick coherence and then you just start to push it out. Oof. Do you ever do that? You put, oh my God, there's something. I think it must be the computer. And I push this way. There's something pushing against me. You just push it out there and they will switch. And I know you've all had that experience of walking into a room and there's just somebody you absolutely adore. Maybe it's your grandmother, an aunt, a good friend. And they just have this, they exude love. And you just feel safe and secure in that. I want you to all become that. And you can. That's the beauty of it. You can. Some people just naturally are like that. And some of us have to work at it a little bit. All right. So question, Diana said, I quick listen before I walk into the doctors. Yes. So I can't remember what day it's on. It's in the 30 days. It's probably in the second 10 days of quick. And it's also on the page. If you go to it says heart lock in and it describes what it is. And you can also just go to the HeartMath site. And just look up heart lock-in or just Google search heart lock-in technique. And you'll probably see some either a video or a little description of how to do it. Yes. Just remember you are in your divine self. Ground yourself in that. Yes. Right. Right. Awesome. Okay. Oh, Diana, you're so funny. You and all your phones. You know, it won't work with a 15-year-old Motorola flip phone.
but you have less EMFs than we do. Okay, so who has questions, comments, concerns, challenges that you want support with? Okay, so Chrissia and then Jay. Krisha, sorry, I keep calling you Chrissia.
Hi, Dr. Marie.
Hi.
I was wondering if, oh, and thank you for this. It's exactly what I need. I'm flying back to England on Monday, my mom's funeral, and my son is going to be in the house.
Oh.
And he's an addict, and he has mental health problems. And he only screams at me. He never speaks. He's got this ferocious, really strong negative energy. It's huge. So I have to
amplify your beautiful positive energy. And you have it. You have this angelic kind of presence that you can do. And sometimes you get caught into the stress and can't, right? So it's really important for you. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to say this before I lose it, is you need to really do that self-care before you go and really amplify the love in you and do kind of like what I was doing with my son. Yeah, he's an addict. Yeah, he has gone awry. He has gone down the wrong path. He's still your son. He's still that same person. And love on him before you get there, while you're in the plane, sending out love to him.
Right. Starting now, because that's how.
Starting now.
And not only that, it feels like a last chance. Once my mom's house is sold, we may never see him again. She may just end up on the streets and overdose. So it's like.
So I'm going to ask you to stop that thinking.
Okay.
I know that, you know, flows naturally from the experience of it and what happens with addicts, but I want you to see a different outcome for him.
Definitely.
What I want you to see is an outcome for him where he gets in touch with his true essence and the beauty that he is, and whatever the pain that led him to become an addict, and that the awareness comes of what he needs to do. Now, it's not going to come necessarily from your words, because he's going to fight your words, right? You have had that experience. You can't get through to him that way. So I want you to get through to him on a different level.
Yes, thank you for that. And I'm practicing like crazy. I'm training in the language of nonviolent communication and empathy. Just day and night. It's my focus now.
Beautiful.
Because I want to be able to do this while I'm there.
Yes.
Oh, so this is really great. Thank you so much. My heart feels better.
You're welcome. You're so welcome. And when do you leave?
Sunday night. It's an overnight flight.
Okay. So I would like, if any of us can remember that Krisha's going to need our, just send some energy across the airwaves, just like really, whether you believe in it or not. Like most people believe in the power of prayer. If you're not a prayer person, it's the power of moving energy. But, you know, there's so many people that write about that long distance healing stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's the power of a group that comes together, and you call it praying, you can call it sending energy, however you want to phrase it, but just put some focus, even for just a couple of minutes, on sending you the love and support you need to support him, and then sending love and support to him. And if he's feeling it from so many places there, you may see a shift.
Yes, I'm hoping for that. Thank you. It's the power of intention. It's magic. It's absolutely magical. And actually, it helps the people who send the prayers as well. It's a two-way thing. It's quite amazing.
It is totally amazing. And we live in a world where that's not the norm. And people are constantly spreading fear. It's not yet. We're working on that. But people are spreading fear. Like, we live in a fear-based world, right? You go on TV, you go on the news. That's what they're doing. Fear sells. So we need to be always on that space of, even if you're just doing a heart math thing and you just radiate out that energy and say it's intended for everyone who needs it out there. Or pick a particular set of people who maybe are in a power to help shift things, and just send them positive energy and prayer. Makes a difference. I'm not a praying person. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. And I just believe in the power of prayer, intention, energy, whatever you want to call it, from wherever you're coming from.
It's been proved scientifically. It definitely works. So, yeah. My question was, I don't know if this is the right time. I wondered if you could look at my Dutch test results, because when we had our talk
the other day, or it hadn't come yet, right? When I talked to you,
it had come, but they'd sent it to you, but it was not in the right place or something.
Yeah, well, it's in her file.
It's in her file. Yeah, because I remember looking at it. I was looking at one that was from 2015.
I called them up and they sent it to me, and said they had sent
it. It came in December.
Really? I wonder what happened to it, because Scott usually sends a copy to the person and to me.
Yeah, no,
uploads it to the folder. It is there now. Okay, so let me look it up. And then is it okay for me to share my screen? Because it'll be easier for me to show you some of the stuff in here.
Right, and everything seems really low on the first page. So I'm wondering if there's anything I can do quickly to raise my energy.
Yeah, let's see if there's some stuff we can do quickly while you're changing. Then we can go into more detail on it when you get back. Dutch,
yeah, I'd like to
2018, 12-2. Okay, I got it.
Next week.
And what are you going to be gone for? How long?
1 week.
Okay, 1 week. And are you going to have access to kitchen where you can make stuff, or are you going to be at everybody's mercy?
No, I have all my stuff there, and I'm taking most of my food with me, and
beautiful.
And I'm ordering the rest on, you know, wherever I can. And I've got my blenders and dehydrators over there.
Okay, why every time I open this one, it says 2018. Why is it opening a 2015 one?
I was just looking at it yesterday.
Well, I'm opening this one, and it says collection times 2015, even though the name on it says 2018. So if you have it, I want you to open it, because it's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna look again.
It has one that says it has you uploaded it, and it says Dutch 2018-12-2, but when I open it, it's 2015. Yeah. Sorry, it's the same one again. I'm like, deja vu.
It is.
And that was 4 years ago, so it's really not going to be.
Be interesting to see if I got worse or better. What
were
my efforts?
I'll see about getting this here.
All right, see if you can find it. Maybe you just uploaded the wrong one when you uploaded it. See if you can do that.
Probably.
Yeah, upload the right one, and then we'll come back to you and we'll look at that. Okay, and then meanwhile, I'll go to somebody else, because it'll take her a good 5 minutes probably to find it. Although she's Lynn, so it might only take her 30 seconds, but we'll see. She has the magic of being able to find things quickly. Who else? Questions, comments, successes, struggles? Comments on
who? I did want to say, Krista, Barbara lives in the UK. So maybe you guys can get together there.
Well, you know, that's kind of saying when somebody travels from the UK to the US, like, oh yeah, she lives in... No, I guess it's
Well, maybe a little smaller, but she actually put the comment. She actually made the comment in the chat.
Are you close together? Like if you're both in London or something, then that's, you know.
Where is Barbara?
I'm in Reigate. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm in Sherwood Forest, and I won't have time this week, but I'll be going over again to clear my mum's house when it's warmer, because it's snowing now.
It is snowing.
I just can't deal with that. So.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's
no, I offered you that you can call me in case you need to talk to somebody.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I write you my phone number here in the chat box.
That's so sweet of you. Yeah. And both of you should look up Allison Grimston when you're there, you know, and if you need an MD to help you get tests done or something, you know, she's there and she's one of our coaches. Alison Cranston. She's in, okay, so if you're in London, Heathrow, I live in Heathrow, and you travel straight down towards the water, and there's a name of a town, and I don't remember the name of the town.
It's Lewes, I believe.
What is it?
L-E-W-E-S.
Yes, Lewes. Yes, L-E-W-E-S.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Very beautiful place, and she has an old farm. Yes. She lives there, and she just showed me today how she cleared out a room in her house to have a consultation room because she's moving out of – she just does locums, which is like fill-ins for the NHS, but she's been in the NHS for 20 years and, you know, frustrated with not being able to really help people because they slap her hand when she talks to them about vitamin C and probiotics. So she's pulling out and doing her own thing. So
where do I
find her? What is her name?
Alison Grimston, Grimston. If you go on Facebook, she's on the ERC Facebook. I think she's still on the ERC Facebook page, right?
She may be. I'm not sure. I think
maybe she may have pulled herself.
I think she asked Marcia to keep her on there.
I think she did, yeah.
But so I did get Chris's.
Yeah, she's cool. You got her labs. It's up there now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's very, yeah. It's really cool to meet somebody who's a medical doctor who's been in the system, right, in socialized healthcare for 20 years and, you know, talks about, you know, no, you can't just give bioidentical hormones. You got to fix their adrenals and their digestion. And no, you can't just do this. You've got to. And she looks at energy healing and shamans and, you know, animal. She's very intuitive as well as being brilliant. I mean, she's super smart.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah. I'll look out for her.
Great content.
Meanwhile, I do have a serious question. I was listening to a doctor with triple amounts of qualifications and degrees and what have you. And he was saying that really we're making a big mistake with probiotics, that they are more, taking them is more harmful than helpful. And then he explained, and that's the first time I've heard that, but I can see his logic, actually.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I'd love to see what he had to say, because I'd like to evaluate. Taking the wrong probiotics, and I think isolating to a probiotic supplement is nowhere near as effective as making the probiotic foods and having that big, the bunch of organisms that are on the food naturally that then proliferate. Because Steph always talks about that in her stuff. She's, you know, there's over 1,000 or more different organisms that have been identified, yet we only know about 50 of them that we can actually, you know, isolate and put into supplements. And we put them in these kind of, you know, man-made conscious brain type of ways without really knowing. So she works with getting you to make the food. And she's right now doing the Friendly Flora Collective, where every week you get a new recipe and you learn how to taper it and temper it for you. So anyway.
What he said, at least from the listening I was doing, basically is what you were saying. You need to know what it is that you're feeding. And also, you know, people just take these probiotics, but they don't create a home for them. You know, they don't create an environment that they can live in. And that, to me, that was the important message out of the whole thing, was making sure that, you know, you can keep downing all these things, but if you're eating food that isn't good for that, your microbiome, so that they can live and survive and thrive, you know, that's like, you know, first of all, you overpopulate your military, you know, you have too much army and no navy, and then you don't feed them, you make them starve to death, you know,
you overfeed some of them that may not be beneficial, and then you create an imbalance.
Exactly.
So I'm a big fan of, you know, the probiotic foods. Sometimes people are compromised enough that, you know, you can, like most people, you can't go wrong. You don't go wrong with just bifidobacter because it like kind of creates an environment where many things work. But a lot of the, like the lactobacillus, if you have a tendency to have small intestinal overgrowth, they'll just get stuck there and play because it's a beautiful environment when it's out of balance, right? And they'll go, oh, look, I'm going to play here. And then they do and your belly gets like you know, 14 inches bigger after a meal because they're growing and playing and, you know, proliferating. So, you know, it's there is no black and white and there is no good guys or bad guys, really. It's all about balance. And there's certain quote unquote bad guys like E. coli, normal inhabitant. But E. coli balance, if you kill off all the good bacteria that, you know, we think of as the most abundant, then the E. coli starts to grow out of control. And now you have a problem. Candida albicans, perfectly normal inhabitant, as long as it's not growing out of control. And yeah, I'd like to see this article or video, whatever you said.
I don't remember where, just random things seem to go through my email and I just listen to them in the background.
It's the doctor who makes the product that's called Restore.
Let's just start here. First thing is, he may be perfectly balanced, but he makes a product. So he's going to put out stuff that's going to say, all these other products are bad, but mine is the one, right?
Right.
But if you've got somebody who's just saying, let's just go with food, I'm more likely, you know, I don't know. And this is just me. It's just a little healthy skepticism, I think. Whenever you read an article, whenever you read a thing, you want to look at who produced it, who paid for the research. The drug companies are going to fund, they're going to ask people to create studies that prove what they want to prove. And I know this because I've met in my many, many years of experience, I remember meeting one guy who was, he was moving from being, and it actually might've been Joel Fuhrman, but it was back in the day when I met Joel, it was at the same event I met Joel Fuhrman at, but I don't know. And it was back, you know, before anybody ever heard of him. And he was saying, I'm pretty sure it might've been him. Is like, I worked in research. I worked in this lab. And the drug companies would come and say, I need you to design a study that proves X. And they would design a weird lopsided study that proved X because that's who is paying the bill. And that's what happens. You always have to look at. So the guy who does the leptin stuff, right? Everything bad, bad, bad leptin. Now, if he was an independent guy that just wrote this leptin stuff and he was teaching people about leptin stuff and he was just teaching people and that's part of, you might have to look at this. Well, it might be lectins, it might not be. And, you know, and he was like presenting unbiased stuff, but then it's always, and you can eat these foods that are high in lectins as long as you buy my product. That's when I get suspicious. Right. So anyway, it's just like it's a healthy skepticism right. And maybe overcritical sometimes, but you know, it's they're following the money.
Some of what he had to say was spot on. But yeah, you know,
the end is always, and here's your solution, buy my product, because a product is not going to necessarily be the right thing for everybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you've got the solution. I like the person who says the solution isn't within you.
Yes, the healer is here. We just have to help you to uncover and take charge of understanding and knowing and being in touch with it and seeing, nope, I tried that. I tried that lectin thing and it didn't do. I just missed my chia seeds and I felt hungry all the time. So I wasn't eating my chia seeds. Or over here, you know, I went off of all the oxalates because this guy told me, you know, and I had to go off of oxalates and I feel terrible because now I'm not getting any cruciferous vegetables or whatever. You have to really pay attention. And like if somebody comes up and said, hey, oxalates are so bad and everybody should be off of them. They create kidney stones. They create deposits in your eyes and everybody should be off of them. But if you want to eat them anyway, buy my product. I would be a healthy skeptic. That's just all I'm saying.
I actually tried the leptin doctor. I've forgotten his name. I tried his green powders.
Yeah.
And every single time I took a dose, I got the niacin rush. Not only the niacin rush, but it went up my nose and it was weird.
Oh.
As soon as I opened the box, it would go up my nose and make me feel weird.
That's kind of weird. So does it have niacin in it?
I don't know. I never even checked, but I got that burning, that funny, you know, hot thing, which I thought was weird.
Lynn Rose said, it could be a histamine. You know, is it generating a histamine reaction in you? Something in there that triggered you to have reaction and have reaction. Yeah.
Is that maybe a good thing to have a little bit of a trigger so I grow stronger and resistant?
No. In the early stages, when you identify specific triggers, you want to get rid of them. But that's not the whole problem, because the food isn't the problem. It's the body, the way it handles the food. And so you need to stay away from the triggers so that you can heal. Right? It's not like no pain, no gain. Like with muscle soreness, if you go out there and you work out and you have a little bit of muscle soreness, it lasts a day, goes away. That's just growing. That's just improving. But if you go out and you work out and for 4 days after you're in bed because you're completely wiped out, that's adrenal fatigue and you overtaxed yourself and you are not going to get better if you keep doing that. Make sense?
Yeah, totally. I know that one.
Yeah, totally. All right, let me look at your thing. I think I have the right report now. Yay! Okay, let me share my screen with you guys. I kept feeling like deja vu. Why do I keep seeing this? And every time you sent one to me, I'm like, it's the same one. It's the same one. So that's how I just felt today. I'm like, it's the same one. Groundhog's Day. Has anybody saw that movie, Groundhog's Day?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling like with your bloody 2015 test. All right, where is it? There it is. Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen Dutch test report, these little dials are what we start by looking at. And this, for a postmenopausal woman, it's in this range between the purple and the star. And then for premenopausal, it's between the two stars. So we could see that her estradiol is at the low, very low end of even for postmenopausal. Progesterone is, you know, it's moving up there. And testosterone is super low, right? It's very low end of the range. So there's something going on. So what we want to determine is she short on the precursors, like the building blocks to be able to make these hormones? Or is something else going on, right? So we're going to look at her adrenals. And your adrenals look at your red line here. You're red. These are the ranges, high and low. I like to see people between the 50% and the 75%. It starts to go above that. I think you're in that hypercortisol state where there's a lot of damage that can be happening from it. But I like to see it between the 50 and 75%. You're rock bottom. So this is what I would call a stage 3. Adrenal fatigue, but we don't diagnose. So I'm just going to say it's an indication that your adrenals are pretty darn tired. Your free cortisol 24-hour total is below the, I like to see it around 50 to 75% again, right? That's the total over the course of the whole hour, the whole 24 hours of what you are utilizing, what you have available to utilize in your bloodstream. It's very low. It's very low. So your energy is going to be in the toilet. Based on this, make sense? And your DHEA is super low. It's not as low as the cortisol, but it's low. So it means it's just been happening for a long, long time. And DHEA is really important for growth and repair and anti-aging and all that. So imagine how young you would look. Like, you look way younger than you are right now. Imagine how much younger you would look if you had more DHEA. You'd probably be mistaken for a 40-year-old, right? Or a 20-year-old. Because when I first saw you, I thought you were like in your 50s somewhere. Oops, did she disappear? You still there, Krisha? Oh, there you are. Okay, this is metabolized cortisol. So you're making, but you're not eliminating. Like you're not eliminating, probably because you're not making very much, and you're trying to hold on to it, like the metabolized cortisol. So let's look at your other pages. I skipped these pages. Too many numbers. It's too left brain. I like to look at the pictures, right? And the pictures tell us a lot. Sometimes I look back at those to just verify things. Testosterone is super low, right? Your DHEA is super low. These all come from, look at the top here, pregnenolone. That's grandma, right? Grandma is needed as a building block to make the rest of it, right? And so everything's low. So we didn't test pregnenolone, but my guess would be that you're not making enough or don't have enough pregnenolone. Pregnenolone gets made from cholesterol. So above pregnenolone is cholesterol. So I don't remember, without looking at your labs, do you remember where your cholesterol numbers are? Are they high, low, just right?
You told me they were high.
They were high. Okay, so here's what's happening. Cholesterol should be converted into pregnenolone. If you have plenty of cholesterol, you should have plenty of sex hormones, you know, or at least the right amount for your age, for your, you know, your menopause, premenopause cycle. You're not. So one of the things I find that really helps with converting from cholesterol to pregnenolone is vitamin B5.
Separate,
so
on its own. Not in
on its own. It's a, no, you can take it as part of a thing, but usually there's maybe 50 milligrams in a B complex. We're talking like a big dose. You could start with 500 milligrams. You can get them from Seeking Health or Pure Encapsulations. 500 milligrams, three times a day. Right? But if you're sensitive, start with once a day, go to twice a day, go to three. Some people don't need three. They need two. They need maybe one. But that's going to help you to do the conversion. Right? Now, you have a history of breast cancer or not? No, right?
No.
No. Okay, good. All right. So, because I would talk to you a little bit differently if you did. So when I look here, and I'm going to come back up to this and make another suggestion there if you're open to it, for short-term use, like emergency short-term use to get this up. When I look over here, this is, you know, 5-alpha versus 5-beta. You have a 5-beta, so, whoops, can you still hear me? It says my internet connection is unstable.
Yeah, I can hear you.
There may be a little bit of liver congestion, a little bit of fatty liver. That's usual when you move towards this 5-beta versus 5-alpha. 5-alpha is usually like a zinc deficiency, a fatty acid deficiency, things like that, and that's more common. We see that much more. So you're preferring the 5-beta very slightly. So it's really in the normal range, but I always like to keep little things in the back of my mind, like, you know, let's just check your liver and make sure that your liver is fully functioning. So then we look here. These are the main three estrogens, E1, E2, E3, and they're all low. And what I want to see is the ratio of these to be in the optimal range. So the sum of E1 plus E2, which you have 3.3, should be greater than or equal to the estriol. And yours is double, right? So these two are more what's called proliferative estrogens, which would put you more at risk of estrogen-sensitive cancers. The levels you have are not high enough for me to go, whoa, you're a high-risk one. If you were a premenopausal woman with high levels or even a postmenopausal woman with high levels of estrogens, I'd be concerned about the ratio. But what I really want is that estriol to be coming up. Now, do you have symptoms like low libido, you know, and these are personal questions, you don't have to answer in front of everybody, but the kinds of symptoms that would occur that you would see with low estriol would be low libido or no libido, vaginal dryness, atrophy, things like that. So if those are things, yeah.
Not having a partner, I have no idea. But I suspect I don't have the energy to even find or go looking for a partner because, so, you know.
Yeah, so you don't know if that's an issue.
I don't know.
Right. And, you know, lack of lubrication and dryness there can be just lack of anything in your environment that's stimulating. So, all right. So I'm looking at this. Now we're going to look at these ratios. So if you look at this pie chart, you're looking good in terms of the safety of yours comparatively. It's, well, actually not. Wait, you're 16. No, you're 16. No, you're 4, 16, and 2. So your 2 is the safe one, the green one, obviously. That's your one that's like we want the largest percentage, and the ideal is 60 to 80. You're at 73, so you have a good amount of that. But the ratio between your 16 and your 4 is reversed. And those are more proliferative. Those are more dangerous. And the 16, though, is less dangerous than the 4, but the 16 is amazing for bone support. It's like, you know, when they say once you pass menopause, you're at a higher risk of osteoporosis, it's because of this 16 hydroxyestrogen that goes down. So for you, we want to see the ratio, the 4 to be between 7.5 and 11, and yours is at 16. We want the 16 to be between 13 and 30, and yours is at 10. So we want to be able to move those ratios around a little bit. if you have, sometimes it's a genetic thing and we just have to work with that and protect you, right? So if you have you done your 23andMe yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Okay. So we can look real quick, but COMT, I think we looked at this last time, COMT and CYP 1B1 and 1B2. You don't drink coffee though, right? You don't drink caffeine?
I do one in the morning just to get me going. Otherwise I'm dead.
So I want to get your energy up without that, because that is compromising your estrogen ratios, because you don't have the same thing that converts and clears the 4-hydroxy affects caffeine. So if you're diverting attention to caffeine, you don't have enough of that enzyme capacity from the liver to break down the 4-hydroxy, right? So, who was I talking? There's somebody else I was talking to about that, who had that issue. Let me look real quick at your 23andMe. I think you have that in a separate folder, right? Your genetics.
I've also sent in the ancestry.com results. So they're in as well.
Yeah, the ancestry is just they don't really report on the health stuff. They just report on.
Oh, right.
Oh, I can see a genetic genie. That should show me. The test that I want you to run when you get back it's called, if you take your 23andMe data, you load it up and you do genetic detoxification. We talked about that when we talked last week.
We did. I should have done it, but I got distracted.
All right. So COMT is green. Okay. And then the genetic genie, do you have the other genetic? Yeah, you didn't do the other one. That's right. So we need to look at some of that to see. We talked about that last week because we compared it to your other one.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I want you to protect your bones. And there's some herbs, nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, that's going to help protect your bones. But also we just discovered a really nice little vegan, vegetable-based collagen supplement that helps to support bones. And Lynn had found an article and talked about Sun Warrior was coming out with it. But then I did some searching and I posted it somewhere. Lynn, where did I post it? I posted in response to your thing on one of the groups. But I'd like to add that to our Eating for Bone Health page. And there were two different ones. And I ordered one and I'll let you guys know what I think of it, if it tastes good enough.
Do you want both or just the one?
Well, the Sun Warrior isn't available yet. So there were two others that I posted that are available. And it's good. You can just add it to smoothies. And it has herbs that are just really good for any kind of collagen, not just good for bones, but hair and skin and gut repair and all that, without having the downside of doing animal collagen or bone broth is that the bones concentrate lead. So if the animals are exposed to lead, then you're going to get high concentrations of that. Whereas these herbs, organically grown herbs that are supportive are going to give you some really good stuff. So we'll post those on the Eating for Bone Health page. But that's a place where I'd like to see you focus. But in the meantime.
I see you did a couple of bone broth. There's one by... what is this company?
They call it collagen support or collagen initiators or promoters. Right. Because here's the reality of it. All the bone broth promoters are saying drink the bone broth. Amazing Grass has one, and there was another branch that I found as well. But the people that are promoting do bone broth or eat collagen to get this, what they're not telling you is that your body digests the collagen and then has to rebuild it anyway. So you don't have to eat collagen and run the risk of, whatever's in the animal buildup in the bones. You can actually just ingest the building blocks of that. And so there's some amino acids, et cetera. Those are listed in our Eating for Bone Health, which we're going to be doing, I think it's next month in the Body Freedom. We'll be taking you through the bone health one.
And meanwhile, if I want to find it really quickly, like today, tomorrow.
Lynn, if you find the link, I found it on Amazon. And let me look real quick in my inbox, because I just got it today that it said it was shipped. Amazon orders. Barbara's gift card. Vegan collagen support. Okay, it's just called vegan collagen support. Let me click on the order and I can give you the name of it. I'm loading it now. It's opening now. Track package. Okay. Here it is. This is it. So this one is the amazing grass, amazing protein glow, GLOW.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's another one I don't remember. This is the one I ordered, but there was one other that was. Okay. So that's the one. But Lynn will put the link in there so you can get it now. But the other stuff, if you want to try for quick energy, if you don't have a problem with experimenting with some of these over-the-counter versions of bioidentical hormone, look back here, from BioMatrix, you can get pregnenolone, DHEA, and their what is their thing called? The one that's estriol.
Estadapt?
Estadapt, yes. Yes. So if you don't mind putting that in the chat, that would be great. Let me go back here. So they have, it's BioMatrix, and you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on our DSS store. If you haven't ordered from there before, do it and just use your coupon, because you get a 10% off coupon. And Lynn can put that in the chat. But
Is it one product with the three things, or is it three products?
Three separate products. Because you're going to take them at different times of day and apply them differently. Okay. Pregnenolone, first thing in the morning. You can do a second dose around noon. If you want to do a third dose, just do it before 6 o'clock so it doesn't interrupt sleep. And I would do on pregnenolone, you're a three. I would say you can do like 12 drops of it. You may want to build up to it, but you can do 12 drops three times a day. And that would, you know, just feel into it, right? The other thing is the B5, 500 milligrams three times a day. Mm-hmm. And then the DHEA, same thing. Start really small. The DHEA, you're only going to get up to like two or three times a day. Because if you go too high on the DHEA, it will inhibit the cortisol. But if you keep it really, really low, you'll just provide enough DHEA to support the DHEA functions, but also can be converted downstream into testosterone, which is low as well. Okay. And then the third thing was EST adapt. And it's basically estriol. That third one that I said to you was, here we go. This estriol, we want to bring that up. The other way you could do it with estriol is you can get a vaginal cream with estriol in it, or you can use these drops of estriol, but don't take them orally. You're going to put a drop of it, and you can put it on your thin skin, but it'll be better absorbed if you remember to put it on the vulva. But if you're already dressed and you go, whoops, just put it on your wrist. Okay, it just gets better absorbed if it's on mucous membrane. Okay. And if you're, you know, if you're active, you're not right now, but if you're sexually active, you don't want to put it on your vulva if you're going to be intimate with your partner. Okay. Right. Unless your partner is a female, in which case it doesn't matter. So. Okay. And I've seen this happen. I had a guy come in and we're like testing his progesterone and it's like through the roof. We're like, what the heck? I've never seen a guy with such high progesterone. Turned out his partner was using progesterone cream.
Oh,
and his levels went way up. Babies, too. You have to be careful, mamas who are nursing. If you, you know, you just put it on your places on your body and then you're holding your babies close, that baby can absorb it through your skin. So it's, you know, so you have even grandchildren. So if you're putting hormones on your body in places that are outside, where other people, you have to be aware of who you're hugging. But those four things basically, I think, can help this adrenal pattern a lot, right? The estriol is the last of them there that, you know, if you're going to just do some of them, the priority would be, I think the pregnenolone is going to be your priority, then DHEA, and then The B5, though, is going to help you convert your own cholesterol into it. So I think those three together, and you can also get the estriol as long as you're going to be ordering.
I'll do anything. Okay.
Because your methylation is looking good. And I remember what your thing looked like in terms of your methylation. But let me look here real quick. But your methylation, you have an MTHFR 677T. In spite of the fact that you have a 677T and a 1928 and you have some MTRRs, your methylation is looking really good. So are you been supplementing with B12, folate, those sorts of things?
Yeah.
So it's working. So whatever you're doing there, don't stop. Keep going because it's keeping your methylation working really well as far as even here. And that's good indication of elsewhere. I just want to look real quick at this one other page. This one, your B12 status is good. Your B6 status is good. Your glutathione status is good. There's some neurotransmitter stuff, which we could talk about on another time when we go into more detail with it. Not the highest priority right now. Right now, I want to get you some energy. And your melatonin is fine. And your oxidative stress marker is fine. So it's basically you've got a little bit of issues going on here in dopamine and serotonin. And when we look at your lab, genetic genie, hard to tell, I don't see him. Your COMT is okay. Your MAO, that might be the MAO that's affecting that. That's a monoamine oxidase enzyme inhibitor. Okay, so that's all we have time for today. But when you get back, if you can get those things quickly and start on them before you leave, it would be, you may find yourself. The other thing is, if you're not doing some of those elixirs in the morning, instead of the coffee, look at some of those energy elixirs. And it's on the pages in there, but hormoneelixirs.com, if you've lost it, you can always opt in again and get it. Some of those herbs will really be helpful just to keep, the adaptogenic status. So the ashwagandha, the ginseng, play around with them and see what works. Cordyceps, reishi in a little nice hot beverage. You can get medicine flower coffee drops, coffee flakes.
I've got them. I've tried everything. Nothing does it like the coffee.
Well, play with it. So play with this. Cordyceps I find very, very, not energizing, but balancing. Makes sense? Like it doesn't go buzz, 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 buzz. What it does is it keeps you, and a lot of times I'll do that if I go, I got to stay up another 3 hours and I should be going to bed now. It's not a good thing to do, but I should be going to bed now and I want to have brain clarity. I'll take some cordyceps and I just put some cordyceps in a mug. I put some hot water in there, put some stevia in there, stir it up, maybe a little coconut milk and have a little brain booster and a energy booster. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so these things should be supporting you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, you are so welcome.
Thank you.
Did anybody else find that interesting? I know that's, it's not yours. So sometimes we're like, somebody else's test, but it gives you an idea of what's that. Anybody that found that boring?
Very interesting.
How much of the cordyceps did you say?
When you're first starting with it, start with a quarter teaspoon, then a half teaspoon. But I'd say a teaspoon. I sometimes put two, but I'm used to it. I found myself years ago gravitating. I'd test all these medicinal mushrooms, and I just loved cordyceps. Loved the taste of it. Someday I hate the taste of it. It may mean that I don't need it anymore. But then as I started researching, I'm like, cordyceps is for stamina. I've been staying up late. I have all these projects to do. It's giving me stamina. It's also for lungs. So it helps you to really oxygenate your blood better. It's good for kidneys. So it helps you to eliminate wastes better. So, and it's also for brain, like, and immune system. So it's really a widespread thing. Read about it if you want. And you'll just, like, if you resonate, when you read about herbs and you resonate, you go, oh yeah. So that's why in the Adrenal program, the CAFE program, and all these programs are open to all of you. And by the way, I had them stop all the emails, so you're not going to be bombarded with emails. But you can go into, I think it's part 4 or 5. There's an overall, like, 30 days to, and it has one booklet that has lists of herbs. And you herbalists, you can just ignore me because I'm just a baby when it comes to this stuff. But like Lynn Rose and Diana, you'll go, she understated this thing. But it's just to give people an idea of, like, are you resonating when you read the description? you know, and that might be an herb for you. You might read ashwagandha and go, oh, no, it doesn't, that doesn't sound like me. And you read cordyceps and you go, oh, and that's what happened to me when I read cordyceps. You know, I was experimenting and playing and I was gravitating to a gravity. And I read it and I'm like, oh, no wonder, you know, it just was exactly what I needed. And you always want to look for contraindications. You know, if you're hyperthyroid, don't do ashwagandha. Because ashwagandha will move you in supporting your thyroid and helping you make more. So you don't want to do it if you're hyperthyroid, right? If you're super hot, you're like hot all the time. And no matter what's going on, it's cold outside, but you're always hot. Probably ashwagandha is not a good one for you because it does generate heat in the body. But if you're one of these cold people, which is me, I'm always like, I don't want to be cold. I want to be cold. Ashwagandha is a good one. And I mix ashwagandha and cordyceps a lot of the time. Yeah. Oh, good. You're expecting your results soon. So, you know, you when you've seen somebody else is go through it and then I explain it to you, you kind of, you may not like be able to explain it to me because you've heard me explain it, but you will, like, it'll just trigger some brain cells to go, oh yeah, I heard that before. Oh yeah, that resonates. Right. Great. Who else? Questions? Should men do collagen too? Sure. You know, the places where men, like if somebody's a bodybuilder, somebody's like working on muscle and trying to build muscle and it's been emaciated, you know, I think the collagen support and not collagen per se. I prefer to say collagen support. So if Rich isn't on the call, but Rich is always talking about Rich and who is he? John are usually wanting to talk about, you know, building muscle and stuff because they feel like they've lost it. Collagen support would be good because it provides the building blocks for building muscle, to rebuild the gut, to rebuild bone and hair. If you're losing a lot of hair, your hair is getting thin. I found that when I stopped taking, my hair was getting really big and bushy. And then when I stopped taking, I stopped putting nettles and horsetail and all those things in my smoothies, it just went back to being thin. And now it's getting thick again because I've started to use those things again. So Susan Larson said it was very helpful. Yeah. So amigos would be enough. What's amigos? When? Did I miss something?
It was supposed to be aminos.
Oh, aminos. I'm like amigos. Amigos are always good, right? We always want amigos.
Amigo aminos.
Yeah, so aminos, if you're taking like your proline, hydroxyproline, lysine, you know, the ones that are collagen support ones. But, you know, I usually like to gravitate more towards taking a whole food that has that stuff in it, but you're certainly welcome to take that. And if somebody's got a broken bone or, you know, torn ligaments and that kind of stuff, we want to support them however we can. So giving them the aminos plus the herbs plus maybe some, what's that stuff that you guys helped me, that herb that it got banned, so you don't want to take too much internally, but it's good topically and it's good for, why am I forgetting the name of it? Anyway, I'll remember it in a second. But anyway,
so Barbara has,
it's got the pyrrolizine alkaloids in it. And they, so got, Jay has his hand up. And who was the other person I said earlier? I said Jay. Yeah, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
So about 10 days ago, I had a serious loss of vision in my right eye.
Oh, no.
Amaurosis fugits. And so, so right now, and it's really, it's improved a little bit, but not much. I can't, my vision's, I can make out light and dark objects. That's about it. Fortunately, I can see it on my left eye. And so ended up seeing it, having the cardio guy did another echocardiogram Doppler on my carotid because they thought maybe it was a lack of blood flow. And that showed to be 50%, less than 50% occlusion, which was good news in a way.
You know,
they don't do like stent or other kind of interventions unless you're more than 70% occluded. So that made him scratch their head. The guy sent me to a neurologist. And so Friday night ended up with an MRI and an MRA. And the high level report back on that was that I've got multiple level intracranial atherosclerosis and central nervous system vasculitis, inflammation, in other words. The guy characterized it as impressive, which means there's a lot. And I have an appointment to see him on Thursday morning to get more details and to go over the scans and whatnot. But the comment was that, gee, you know, you look like you're in really healthy condition. Your cardio looks okay. It's just perplexing why your brain's got all this buildup, plaque buildup in it, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, that's where I am. I have a sluggish blood flow in the eye, venous stasis. I had neovascularization, which is new capillaries were starting to grow into the eye, which is one of the reasons for the vision loss. I don't know that it's all of it. I mean, there's probably something going on with the blood flow to the optic nerve. So that's kind of, you know, that's where I am. I mean, I did a little bit of research. It looks like I just keep doing what I've been doing. And
you're doing the right things. But here, I'm going to say something that you're probably not going to like. But if I were in your position, what I would do is I would get myself out to a fasting place, like something like True North in California, where they have medical supervision as well as, you know, food supervision. And that can break down stuff. Like I've seen reversals of cardiac stuff like in no time at all. Looking at like somebody like, if you followed the iThrive, John, right? That guy was in ridiculous shape. And I saw him. He came to visit me. He came to my house and did an interview with me. And the guy was limping around. He had all these stuff. He had he had peripheral neuropathy like you do, but way beyond yours. And he had all this stuff. And he's now in phenomenal shape. And big part of it was doing the fasting and then, you know, adapting diet. You've been doing the dietary stuff, but sometimes it's not enough if you have pre-existing, right?
And yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I'm not likely to. My mobility is very limited right now. I can drive to see my retinal guy is in my Kingwood community. So I can, if I don't have to get on the freeway or whatever, I can do that. And my ex-wife, Martha, who's also my eye doctor, my general eye doctor, has been gracious enough to take me to these other appointments.
That's,
I guess,
very nice.
In part because, you know, it relates to something that she's, you know, helping me with my eye to begin with. So, yeah, I'll keep that in mind, but, yeah, I don't know.
So, study from Sweden 1 year ago says that THC dissolves plaque in the brain. Just want to share the possibility.
Yeah, go to Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a hemp tincture. I don't know that that's got, I don't know what that's got in it though.
Actually. It doesn't have THC for sure. You wouldn't be able to buy it. You know, it's got
CBD.
And Lynn says, are you sleeping well? I think you do, right? You're sleeping.
Well, actually, so, you know, I had to call my boss up and tell him I wasn't coming into work anymore. And I was going to try to work from home, which is what I've been doing. And so now my sleep schedule is different. It's like I go to bed about 10 o'clock at night and I wake up about 6 instead of going to bed at 9 and waking up at 3.
That's great.
I'm probably getting a lot
more sleep. So that's good. So that's contributing because the time you would have spent commuting, you could spend sleeping, right? And I call it a sleep vacation. I interviewed Dr. Christensen today, and he called it a binge sleeping, right? Let's binge sleep.
So the MRI showed that they suspected that I had a stroke last week. And the MRI will show you whether you had a recent stroke or an old stroke. And it didn't show any recent stroke. So I guess that was good news, in a way. But it did show that I've had one in the past. Something that I didn't even realize. Maybe it happened 3 years ago, you know, when my lifestyle was so crappy.
Right. And when your A1C was like, what was it?
4 years ago at this point, actually.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, like if hindsight is so hard, like where was it like then compared to now? Right. Has it definitely improved? Are you on the mend? But right now it's just like the deterioration is getting to the point where.
Yeah, I don't know.
Knowing. It's really hard to say, but I would say, you know, even if you just get on the phone and make an appointment to talk to Alan, Dr. Alan Goldhammer out at True North or Dr. Michael Clapper. And I know both of them, if you know, just tell them that I referred you and that you want to just chat about it.
And Goldhammer?
Goldhammer he's the director. He's a DC. And then Clapper is an MD, and he used to, you know, work in ER, and he, you know, he just worked with all this. He's seen what happens when you shift things around.
What's his first name?
Michael Klapper, K-L-A-P-E-R, and Alan Goldhammer.
Okay. And then what's their institute?
It's True North. They're in Petaluma, California. What's that?
I put it in the chat.
Oh, good.
The link's
been put in the chat. And Marcia put the no-cost patient screening. So they'll, great. Thank you, Marcia. And I know them both. They come from, you know, the place that we come from where they want to help you. And they've seen it. And they fast people and they put people on specific dietary protocols.
Well, hopefully I'll know. I mean, he put me on Plavix, you know, because they were fearful that I was going to have another stroke.
I looked at my
nutrigenomic stuff, and I happened to have the intermediate impairment for Plavix.
So then you go to them and say, "What else can we?"
I'm going to tell them that on Thursday.
Tell them that I need something different because I don't want to create another problem.
Yeah.
Try to fix this one. Nattokinase is supposed to break down plaques.
I've been taking that. I've been taking that for 2 years. You know, maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough. How much are you taking?
They've got this product called Neprenol, which is nattokinase and Sereptase. I've got some separate. I've been taking three of those in the morning along with one nattokinase.
I would do is look for a couple of studies that just show what the levels are that show reversals and breakdown of plaques. I don't know off the top of my head. It may be a weight dependent thing, you know, whatever. This so many milligrams per kilo of body weight, you know, and then you calculate what your ideal dose would be based on what the research is showing.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes we take stuff, but we don't take enough. And sometimes we need a lot more. Like Alan Hopkins talks about, like some of his people, he puts on 8 to 10 grams of EPA DHA a day to get the levels, to get those big particles to increase and the small dense ones to decrease.
It's sad because, you know, I can bring this up with the cardio and maybe the neuro guy, but it'll be interesting whether they know anything about it or not. Mm-hmm.
Well, I always found whenever I would be going in my olden days before I knew much, but as I was starting, I would research and I would walk in with stacks of paper and they would say, so I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about that. And they go, whoa. I said, well, here's the research. And I'd say this research and I'd show them. And inevitably by the end of the appointment, they're like, can you send me some of those studies? Right? Because they hadn't seen them. And some of them are going to be closed-minded. I didn't learn it in medical school, therefore it doesn't exist. But a lot of them are going to be like, yeah, I want to help my patients. This is what I want to do to help my patients. And there's times when we intervene with medications to save your life, right? If there's plaques, we want to stop it, but you also want to look at what are the side effects and what are some of the other medications that can do the same thing. There is a company that does a drug screen against your genetics. And I don't remember what company it is, but where it'll really goes into the details. I mean, you can find it just by finding some of the genetic pathways and looking it up on SNPedia and stuff like you already did. So you want to find, but what are the alternatives? That's what they do a report that says, you can't take this, but instead you can take this. And it kind of lays out different drugs that have similar things.
Yeah, I've already researched into that. There's a couple of other alternatives.
Good. So that's the thing to talk to them about.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
It's on the list.
Okay, good. Well, Jay, we're here for you and support for you. And I want you to get what you need.
It's pretty depressing.
It can be. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're doing all this stuff. But the only way to really get through that is like, okay, imagine where I would be now if I hadn't turned my diet around, if I hadn't.
No, that's true. I'd probably be dead.
Down, right? It's like, I know you're not already there and it is depressing and you're kind of living with the earlier dietary lifestyle indiscretions, but like, look where your A1C was and look where it is now, right? Look at some of those things and where they are now, your blood sugar, et cetera.
Yeah, no, these guys look at my lab stuff and shake their head.
It's like, and they're like, oh, this guy's a
it doesn't make sense to them.
Can I Can I share something?
Sure. And then Paula, I see your hand raised. Yep.
And then I know Barbara has a question too.
Okay.
But it's something you say many times. The body heals in layers when it's ready to. So you heal things. And when you shed that layer of healing, it allows for something else that says, okay, great. Now you need to heal us. And so I'm just going to encourage you to trust your body, knows what it's doing. And if you listen to that, you're your best expert.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, you know, because we want our bodies to respond in a certain way and we expect that and we get disappointed, but that level of disappointment is what then triggers the blood pressure to go up because you're worried about it, you're scared about it. And it feeds itself. So that's where HeartMath, that practice of appreciation, that practice of getting into your breathing and focusing, not just in the beginning of the day or the end of the day, but throughout the day. Because you already know, as soon as you go into the office, your blood pressure goes up. Has that gotten better since you've been working from home?
Yeah, probably a little. Yeah. Kind of hard to say. I mean, I'll get stressed. I mean, it's only been 10 days, so, yeah. I don't know.
Every time you feel
I have to stress that on how I'm going to get to the doctor's office and things like that. You know, Martha has already told me she's not going to take me anymore, so that means I got to either get a Lyft or an Uber.
Like
that. I'm 35 miles out of town, so to go to a doctor in Houston is going to be $100 just to get there, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. And thinking about
it as one of my big worries, you know, my boss is kind of being a dick about things. So yeah, I got that worry too. I really wasn't ready to retire yet, but I guess I could do it if I had to. I don't know.
So sit with this, Jay, with what you really want. And what you want most, obviously, because you've been working really hard at this, is you want your health. That's
yeah, I like to get my vision back. I mean, that's
you want
like
your vision, right? You want to be able to see, right? And so, the monkey mind, you're hypervigilant, right? And you have a lot of those gene snips that keep you in those pathways, and that is working against you. So whenever those monkey mind things come up, you've got to do the transforming. Did you ever do Laura, or did you ever do those things you had last year, the sessions? I think you had them with Jane.
With Jane.
Yeah.
I did one with Jane, and then we tried to connect on another one, and there was some mix up, and I don't know. I didn't really get much out of the one that I had. We didn't really connect all that well, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if you reach out.
So I didn't do the other two. I think there were three sessions.
There were three. Yeah. Well, we'll check. If we haven't paid her for those two sessions, I can switch it
over to Laura.
Yeah, she's a little more.
Laura or Kimberly, either one of them.
Yeah.
But because, you know, you just said something there, and I don't know if you even heard yourself say it. Mm-hmm. You've lost sight of your vision.
Bingo, yeah.
What did you say?
See, you've lost sight of your vision, Jay. And I'm not talking about what your eyes see.
Right. I wasn't trying to be funny.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a programming, because we hypervigilance have to reprogram that stuff and have to catch it, and it can be done. And I think that you looking at this as, okay, this is a good wake up call for me. Maybe I am ready to retire. Maybe I'm ready to retire and do something else that's, you know, in alignment with the direction that I'm going in terms of whatever. And, you know, as an attorney, you can retire and take on little cases here and there, as opposed to doing this stressful job being in a big law firm. And, you know, and there's, it's
yeah,
not like.
Once I leave, I'm not going to do law anymore. Yeah. It's not that my job is not that stressful.
It's not.
It really isn't. Yeah, it's not a confrontational, for the most part. It's not confrontational.
Why your blood pressure goes up so much when you get
there? I don't know. It's almost like magic. I go to work and it goes up, you know.
And that's where we think about those subconscious patterns that get triggered, right? It reminds you of
my brain works, you know. It's not that I'm in a stressful situation. It's just that's the mode I'm in when I'm at work, you know?
And that's the perception, right? And perception is reality until, you know, it's shifting the perception. And it is reality, even if it's perceived.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, and I think about it where I go, I had like a totally stressless day, but yet my blood pressure at work was 160 over, I don't know, 85, 87, something like that. I go home 3 hours later and take it 3 hours after that. It's, you know, 127 over 82 or something.
I would love to see you practice with like the heart math thing, not looking at it because it's stressing you out, but just doing it. Just like focus on the breathing one, you know, four in, two, three, four, out, two, three, four, slowly, whatever your pace is, but you're counting it so it's even. And then just practice that. And like I did with Marsha, you know, we did it and then her blood pressure went down. I've had people where it's gone down way more than that, like really significantly gone down. And I would like to see you be in control of it.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I see for you, I think you have been, you know, you're a successful person who has been in control much more. And then there's this thing that you seem to not be able to control. And then it feeds on itself. And I'm just, you know, throwing a couple of things out of there, but I would love to, Lynn, let's look into that. Let's look into see if we haven't paid, which probably haven't because she would usually bill us after she saw the people, then we can apply that and get him set up with a session with Laura.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate everybody's thoughts and whatever. If you think about things like this from time to time, please include me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I want to, you know, do the heart lock-in. We'll do that on a call. Let's do a heart lock-in and then let's just send it out to all the people who need it. Because I think it's something we could do that we can just do. And that universal energy going out to people, that love, appreciation, et cetera, can be very, very important. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Paula.
Hi.
Hi.
You and I had a talk yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
And you asked me to do the blood spot fatty acid test. And I thought, oh, because I had done it, you know, in July of last year. And I had a really hard time doing it, getting the blood.
Getting enough blood.
But I really wanted to do it. So I really got into my whole mindset thing about it. And I made a plan. I thought about what didn't work last year and I made a plan and I did it this morning and it went a whole lot better.
And you got the kit that quickly?
No, I got it from you. It was a bonus.
Oh, right. It was a bonus. You already had it. Oh, right.
I already had it. So I did it this morning and I'll mail it off tomorrow. So celebrating that all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Celebration. Mind over matter, right? Mind, right? Oh, so many times we fear things and then the fear is like this perceived thing. And I don't even like to use the word fear. I like to use the word worry because I believe, this is my belief. I think it's born in science, but I'm just going to take it as my belief. I believe that fear is something that is a life-saving emotional response to a situation. And when you have true fear, don't do heart math. Don't do quick coherence. Don't do breathing. Get the hell out of there, right? And use that cortisol surge to take care of yourself. But worry is that perceived thing. So I'm worried that I'm not going to get enough blood. And you went, you kind of, you took charge of that and you went through it. You had a systematic approach. How am I going to do this? And it happened. And now that'll take the fear out for next time. You go, oh, I did that last time. I can do it. Right.
Well, yeah. A big part of it was hydration.
Mm-hmm.
When I did it in July of last year, I did it right away when I got up about 6 o'clock in the morning and I wasn't hydrated enough. So this morning I had my usual 2 cups of water with some salt in. And then I drank more water, probably another couple of cups. And I waited until 8 o'clock to do it until I was a lot more hydrated. Plus, I drank some warm water, and I held that mug for like 15 minutes till my fingers were like bursting with blood. And so, yeah, when I did the first prick, the blood just ran out of there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, because I haven't experienced that doing a finger stick before. So it went a whole lot better than last year. But I also did a little intermittent fasting there. You know, I didn't eat breakfast until 8:30 instead of my usual 6 o'clock. So
there. How did you feel with that? Was that easy or hard?
No, it was difficult. I was hungry, and the hunger doesn't go away for me. It just, it just doesn't. So.
And did it go away once you ate?
Yeah. But then I was hungry again at my usual lunchtime. It's, you know, they were 3 hours apart instead of 5.5 or 6 hours, which is my typical.
Yeah.
But I was hungry.
Interesting. You've developed a rhythm around meals that your body's going, oh, it's meal time.
Yeah. But you know, it's winter, it's cold, and it's extremely cold here. And I always get hungrier in the cold. I don't know.
I do too.
Yeah.
Me too. It's like your body takes more energy to shiver and to try to, you know, generate that internal heat.
Yeah.
So it requires more caloric intake.
But anyway, I've got that taken care of. So we'll
wait. I'm so glad. So in another 10 days or so, we'll get to see those results.
Yeah, we don't have to wait 4 months for these.
We don't have to wait 4 months. And in the meantime, some of those things we talked about that I said, don't do it until after you did the test. You already did the test, so you can start some of those things. And if we see from the test that, oh, we didn't need to start those again, you can stop them. But I just wanted to see it, you know, where you're right now. So that's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Congratulations, Paula.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention another thing. I got out my journals, my food journals, and was looking back last fall when things, you know, shifted with my digestion symptoms. And one of the things I came across that I forgot to tell you yesterday was the extra quercetin that I had started to take. You had, you know, recommended that I take another quercetin. And a couple of months ago, I heard a doctor, Dr. Kara Fitzgerald, interviewed that doctor who's an expert in mast cell stuff and histamine. Yasmina talked about him all the time in her articles. And one of the things that he talked about was quercetin and how taking too much of it can have a negative impact on the gut. So because it has to do with the polyphenols, something like that. So I don't know, but that's one of the things that I did, you know, at that same time that something shifted. And
good detective work. So what are you going to do about that knowledge?
Well, I had stopped taking the extra one months ago when I started having the symptoms, took out that extra one. I'm still doing 3 of them a day, but just not the 4.
Okay. And you didn't notice a difference when you dropped out?
No, but the thing of it is, if that caused some kind of imbalance, just stopping the quercetin wouldn't necessarily correct the imbalance. The imbalance might still be there. I mean, you know, it's just one of the things that was changed back at that time.
This bodes to the value of keeping good journals, right? Because whenever you go back to, wow, at this point something shifted, and you have some journals, you're able to look to see what shifted. And I know it's a pain. I don't like writing down everything I'm eating and what I'm taking and all that, but it really, really is important as we talk about like being empowered to take charge of your health. Yeah. Well, good. Well, we'll play with that because maybe you can drop back further, but you know, but again, the quercetin you said was the one thing that kept you from
the quercetin bromelain combination.
Bromelain, right.
Yeah.
Right. Helping the pain. So, yeah, it's such a balancing act, isn't it? Right?
Yep.
Such a balancing act. Wow. Thank you for sharing. I'm very excited for you. It's such a triumph.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Barbara had a question. What was Barbara's question? Barbara, you want to come on and ask it? It's easier than me going back.
She says, since yesterday I have a slight question mark concerning the keto diet because Dr. Allen, assuming she means Hopkins, said that to be careful if you have hypothyroid subclinical Hashimoto's. Can you give me some advice on this? Soon I or you will get the results of my Dutch test, which will tell more about me and my hormones, I guess.
Yeah, so this is why he said, like, first of all, he said, doing keto right versus not doing keto right. So a lot of the research is out there on the micronutrient deficient version of keto, which is bacon, butter, and like someone in the keto challenge said, her practitioner told her, don't eat any vegetables that have more than zero net carbs. I'm like, oh, okay. So she's going to get micronutrient deficient pretty darn quick. So that's kind of what is out there. They're eating like tons of bacon and butter and, you know, coffee with butter in it and MCT. So what happens is that if your micronutrient status goes down, then that can worsen your thyroid condition. If it's an extreme keto, right, where it's just like, you know, really high levels or you're doing it in an imbalanced way and you're doing the kinds of fat that might actually contribute to fatty liver instead of help it. So I would say for you is to do pre and post testing, right? So you got some good results when you were doing it, right? You got into ketosis. Tell me what happened with you with doing this challenge. Because quite frankly, I read everybody's stuff and everybody's stuff is just merged together into one big mess in my brain. Like, I don't remember who did. I do remember who said that thing about the zero net carbs because it was unique. And I remember who said it. But other than that, it's like I'm trying to keep track of who did what to who. I think that Lynn Rose wrote yesterday, yay, I'm in ketosis. I got a 0.9. I saw that. But I don't remember. So tell me a little bit more about what you've been experiencing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. After the third day, I went slightly into ketosis. Mm-hmm. And the first 3 days, I didn't struggle a lot really with the intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. It was only on the fourth day that I got really tired and hungry in the afternoon. But later on, listening to your video for the fourth day, I understood probably why, because I hadn't slept enough the day before because of appointments. And yeah, that might have been the cause why I was more hungry. But yeah, having said that, I felt also more hungry today. The first 3 days, I only had the shake in the morning. And then, you know, later on in the afternoon, at 6 o'clock in the evening, I had my dinner.
That's a very long gap. If you had morning or dinner with just a shake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, having said that, I had the shake only at lunchtime, not early in the morning. Because I wanted to, for me, best is to have this gap between the last meal and then the breakfast. You know, yeah. I have no problems to wait until 12, 1, 2, right, and now even, about that time. Yeah. So I also today I had more, I not only had the shake, but I forgot what I had today. I had something else, a small portion of something else. Mm-hmm. So it seems that I, in general, I'm more hungry the longer I'm doing this diet, but I don't eat like huge portions.
Yeah. So it's a matter of finding your balance. And it sounds like you like the going longer periods of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue to do that and then play with the, how much you should eat. Maybe, you know, if you're just doing a shake, you need to fortify the shake a little bit more. Or you need to do something with it. Like for me, just doing the shake, unless I really, you know, pay attention and fortify it. If I just drink the one that my husband makes, which is a green smoothie he puts like an avocado and 3 days worth of servings, that's not a lot. So I'll eat an avocado along with it with my sauerkraut or with my yogurt or something like that to give me more calories and then that, or chia, like the chia like a chia porridge with a smoothie shake, whatever, really, then I'm like full for the rest of the day. So I think everybody needs to just play with, what does your body respond to? How does your digestion feel with it? How's your energy feel with it? And figure out what's right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like I was really fine when I went up to 16 and a half hours fast. And the last 2 days I had 19 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time. Okay, so see, you found your sweet spot in terms of that length, right? 16 and a half hours.
Okay.
So then once you find that, like, oh, I felt really great here, but when I went to 19, then I just couldn't get satiated, then the 16 is a good time for you. If you found it was 15,
okay.
It's the right
okay.
time. There's no magic. And, you know, unfortunately, people are always asking me, what's the right amount of carbs I should be eating? How much protein should I be eating? It just depends. Like if you're a 5 foot woman who's not working out much, just doing walking or light exercise, you need a hell of a lot less than a 180 pound man who is exercising, who's working out. And it's just a matter of finding the right balance. And, you know, a lot of these diets are like the one size fits all, right? Okay, everybody needs this many grams of protein and this percentage of carb, protein, fat. And reality, when you look at it, I mean, some people eat 50% fat and, you know, more carb, and they can stay in a ketogenic state, you know, a fat burning. And I don't mean like full on ketosis where there's no glycogen. And when I talked to Alan Christensen today, he talked about that metabolic flexibility of having some glycogen stores and working on ketones as well, and that you get some balance there to help the ketones and the you know the glycogen is the spark for helping the ketones, versus being in a full blown, you know, fasting 5 to 6 to 7 ketone level. It's very different because you don't have glycogen stores. And then if you go and do a heavy burst of exercise, your body does need some quick fuel. Sometimes you go into fat, you go into burning of your muscle to get some glucose, right? Oh. So there's a lot of things to balance here. And I think that there hasn't been a lot of research or studies done on doing this healthy version of keto, where you're eating as many non-starchy vegetables as you want to. And then I'm even saying, like I said, in the early stages, stay away from the grains and the legumes, right? To just help yourself get in. But then once you're in, you may be able to have some lentils or some black beans. Paula had her biome test, and it said black beans were one of the foods that are going to feed the good stuff and what her body needed. And so she's, you know, of course, if you've been doing this, like, oh, I'm scared of legumes, but maybe she hasn't tried that or tried the small amounts. It's okay. Take a tablespoon of black beans and have a huge salad or broccoli, plate of broccoli like you would normally do, and then have a little bit of black beans with it. And if the fiber in there and the specific nutrients in there are going to feed the microbiome in a way that's going to be beneficial for her, that's great, right? And if it's not, then not. So we play with it. So you take these responses. The biome I'm still out to lunch on, whether I like it or not, as Paul and I were discussing yesterday. It's like, they don't give you good ratios of what's in there and what's not and what's good and what's bad. It's a much worse report. I was expecting a better report after she waited 4 months to get her results because they were updating it. And it was a much worse report than I'd seen before. And it was very different from what the advertising videos were showing. Because I was all excited when I saw it. Okay, I see this and that and the other thing. And I ordered one. And then when I saw her report, I'm like, but it gives you foods. And I did have a better explanation. Mm-hmm. Of why certain foods might be good for certain people and not for others. So they give you a set of foods, like everybody should stay away from these foods, but based on your bugs that are living there, these are some of the foods that could feed the good ones, and these are some of the things that will feed the bad ones, so stay away from it. So they rate your foods. And she had, most of the foods were fine. It wasn't like Paula had to go, oh my God, my favorite foods, I have to give them up. It was more like, oh, let me try some squash. Let me try some black beans, right? So
yeah, I had the biome done last year, middle of last year. And funnily enough, it also said to me, you know, to have black beans. But that's a good advice, just to keep it low, not huge amounts, but and small check amounts.
Your blood sugar. What I tell you, I want you to go back to the spot way of checking your blood sugar to make sure it's not going to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, right? It's going to feed your microbiome and throw your blood sugar out the window.
Yeah.
But feeding your good microbiome can be very supportive of your blood sugar because that they're very closely interacting, right? Mm. So it's really a matter of, you do the test, you see what the test says, and then this is the ultimate experiment ground. Let's see how it sits in your body, low and slow, right? Not, oh yeah, I'm going to take these three new supplements in full dose and then go, oops, right? I didn't have a good reaction. Which one was it, right? So we really want to work with it, but these are all bits of information. The ultimate knowledge is here. And when we can really tune into, how do I feel when I do this? And I think Krisha asked earlier, like, if I do this, is it, should I just keep pushing through it? And generally speaking, no. Like I said before, it's kind of like the muscles. Oh, my muscles are a little sore tomorrow after I exercised. The next day I'm fine and I can exercise again. No, that's great. That's just normal adaptation and stimulating new growth. But do some exercise and for 3 days you can't get out of bed. That's just putting you more into adrenal fatigue. And for you, Krisha, yoga. Walking, right? Based on your level of adrenals, yoga and walking. And if you're going to do weights, it's like light bands or light weights just to keep the muscles active. But you don't want to do heavy duty exercise where you're like, right? That's not going to help you at this point. That's not going to push you like, you know, into better. It's going to make you worse. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really a matter of learning to tune into our bodies and trust it and not necessarily trust the expert. Right. I don't want you to just listen to everything I say as me as the expert. I'm giving you some guidelines to help. This is the expert. And I'm just helping you to think of it in a different way and interpret the external cues and the internal cues in a different way. So that makes sense. So let's see what your thyroid does. See how you feel on this. Don't go too long. Retest your thyroid numbers. And sometimes you see the thyroid numbers get way better, right? Because this whole thing is going to help support you in being, you know, better metabolism. And if it gets worse, then, you know, there's something else going on and you have to adapt it. Yeah.
This is a good question because I have Hashimoto's too. I forgot to mention that cystic thyroid.
So that was from the ultrasound, right? Because you don't have antibodies showing up in the blood, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. So gut support, super important, you know, and some of the stuff we talked about earlier, that collagen support, these new vegan kind of collagen supports may be good. You know, maybe that's something to help us to add to a leaky gut protocol. So I would look at the leaky gut protocol. I'd be looking at, is there heavy metal in your environment? Have you done a heavy metal test, Jay?
Yeah.
And did you have any?
No, I didn't have any.
Okay, so heavy metals we rule out. So you want to rule out all these things. You might want to look at, say, the Great Plains toxin report, right? Do you have a buildup of glyphosate? Do you have a buildup of mycotoxins and some of those kind of things?
How do you test for heavy metals? Is it with hair or?
Well, you know, hair is a good general screening because the heavy metals will dump into the hair. And then, you know, the other way to do it is urine, but I like to do an unchallenged urine and then an EDTA or DMSA or something challenged urine. That's a little harder because then you see, okay, right now I'm not seeing that in the blood, but as soon as I have a challenged substance that draws it out, whoa, I might have it stored in my brain. I may have it stored in my bones, but it's sequestered away. And then you take this drawing substance out. Now, I'm really careful about doing one of those challenge tests with somebody who's having neurological symptoms. So I would not recommend that for, you know, people who are having that. If you're having depression or you're having neurotransmitters or you're having brain fog, severe. I don't mean just the normal, like, you know, I forgot where my keys are, but I mean really severe. That could make it worse. So I had somebody who had really bad neurological symptoms, like, she would go into stages where she just couldn't form words and various things would happen, numbness and tingling and all. So I said, no, we're going to just do a baseline. And we did a hair and we did a urine. And even in the unchallenged urine, her mercury and lead levels were through the roof. So we know that that's what's impairing her. And there's no way I'm going to put her on a heavy duty mercury lead removal program because I want to get rid of it in the blood. So we started her on things like modified citrus pectin, which will drag whatever's being released from there. And there's other mild forms of getting rid of it. But some people want to put you right on a chelation and some people get worse with that. So, or DMSA or EDTA suppositories or other things like that. And it's just like dragging it out of storage. But if you don't have the right genetics and biochemistry to actually diffuse it and make it less toxic, then you're going to have some serious problems during the process of elimination. I've seen people have that.
I mean, I had a hair test done about 1.5 years ago, and there was nothing in my hair, and I just couldn't believe it, that there was absolutely not a single trace of a heavy metal. I just couldn't believe that test. So I might make this unchallenged blood test, urine test, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I have as well cysts in my thyroid.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, here's the thing with thyroid, autoimmune thyroid, you run the test, you run like the TPO and the antithyroglobulin, and a lot of people show up normal there, yet there's still some weird imbalance in the thyroid. And if you run or the palpation, you know, annual exam, you notice some cysts. So sometimes there is an autoimmune that's not actually showing up as antibodies yet, right?
And I have weak antibodies, I think. Yep, low antibodies.
Low antibodies. So, you know, of course, the gluten-free, super important, grain-free, you know, like doing this keto for a little bit and getting off grains because there's a lot of cross-reactivity and seeing how that works, looking for the toxicity and the stress, of course. And Jay, we know, you know, with the stress is like there's things that cause your stuff to go up. So it's your blood pressure. So it's really important to look at all the stressors, right? Not just the food stress, not just the gut stress, not just the mental, emotional stress, it's the environmental stress as well. And EMF stress, huge, right? And mold. So a lot of people are finding, especially if you live in a damp climate, like this one woman I was telling you about, she lived in Portland. And I asked her about mold. She goes, oh, yeah, it's common around here. Go in my bathroom and there's mold all over, you know. I'm like, oh, we got to get you out of this environment. We got to shore you up. And it's like you're beating your head against a wall. You're trying all these things. And mold, the mycotoxins in the mold, can be causing a lot of problems. There are some tests you can do. Cyrex has I think it's a Ray 10. Is that right, Lynn? That has a test for the toxin, neurotoxins that are in your system. It's like an antibody test for specific mold and things like that, toxins. Yeah. Which biohealth report? What are we asking Gut Zoomer? Any guidance on what I need to add? Oh, cool.
I think Ray 10 is the multiple food immune reactivity screen.
Oh, that's something that I think it might be. I don't remember what number it is then.
Well, Ray 11 is loss of immune support, I believe so, with chemicals. I'm looking it up here. Yeah, Array 11, chemical immune reactivity screen. Is that the one
you're thinking? Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking about. Yep. Yeah, because it may be something that you created these antibodies to this stuff long ago when your body was trying to protect itself from environment. You may not even be in that environment, but you're still having a reaction. You have an immune reaction, and even if there's just a small exposure, you're going to get into that stress on the immune system. So it's really important. Okay. Anybody else have questions? I see a lot of stuff with Lynn, and Lynn are having a conversation. So is there something that I could support you in that conversation and clarifying?
I just want to thank you very much, Dr. Rita Marie. I think I better go to bed now.
It's like 8 o'clock, like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to promise me that you are going to sleep late tomorrow morning.
Yeah. I always make sure that I have at least 8 hours sleep.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. So she won't get up till noon tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us. Bye.
Thank you.
She's so dedicated coming out so late at night. I try to do many calls during the day as I can. So
I know. I know.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Barbara.
Bye.
All right. Who else? It's time to go. I got to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Did I miss anything? Is anything pressing, Diana? No.
Lynn has a vital health 401H and is it a gut zoomer?
Okay. 401H is pretty easy to interpret in terms of the H part. It's yes or no. So did you have the H. pylori? No, good, yay. And then there's some other bugs in there, like there's a few parasites, and then there's usually like Klebsiella and E. coli and a few others. So, you know, you really want to look at that. And we have in CMDS, Lynn was saying, and we have a whole bunch of case studies in the GI assessment piece. And if it's not open to her yet, because she hasn't finished everything before, go ahead and open it for her and let her go there, because it's a lot of...
I believe it is open for, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good.
And then the other one was the gut zoomer.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the gut zoomers very much, but yeah, bring it to the next NEPT call next week. Yeah, upload it for me and we'll look at it. All right. Okay, nobody else? Everybody good? How to get rid of heavy metals. That's a time for another, just depends on the person and that, you know, there's a lot of different options for that. You know, anywhere from, you know, small amounts of chlorella and spirulina and cilantro pesto or something to pull it out, all the way up to some really heavy hitters like IV chelation, which I'm not a big fan of. I EDTA except in really serious cases. But because people with the heavy metal stuff are usually pretty compromised immune-wise. And if you start trying to yank that stuff out of them really quickly, they go into major reactions. So I believe you have to really support. And you do have to get rid of gut bugs like candida especially. But the candida, well, actually, sometimes you can't get rid of the candida because it's there to protect you from the heavy metals. Right, it just keeps coming back because it's protecting you from the heavy metals. So, one of the ways, yeah, it's too much to talk about, but those are some general ideas, and we can talk about it on another time. I usually like to talk about it in terms of like not so much generic, but specific.
One thing that I've heard you say time and again that really, you know, especially with the foundational ways you lead us, you know, first of all, make sure your organs of elimination are working. Because if you do all these things and it gets those little buggers floating around, but they have no way to leave, you get even more sick. So yeah. Make sure you're sweating and pooping.
And peeing, like that means drinking. And it, you know, a lot of people say, I don't drink because I don't want to be peeing all day or all night. And you got to be. Like, I'll give you a story from my own personal experience over the last few days. It was the day before I traveled, so it wasn't from airline travel. I'm looking at my legs and I'm like, hey, my ankles seem a little swollen. What the heck's going on? It just felt like my calves felt big. Like, I'm not working out. Why are my calves so big? So I get on the plane, and I'm like, I'm pitting edema. I'm looking at my legs going, whose legs are these? They do not look, I have these little skinny ankles and this big calf because I work out. I'm like, whose legs are these? This is weird. I couldn't even see my kneecaps. It was terrible. I'm like, what did I do? And then I thought, I've been drinking a lot of tea and I've been focusing on licorice tea the last week. I bought some licorice mint and I'd had problems, and some people are very sensitive to licorice. So I'm like, could it be the licorice tea? So I just started, I eliminated the licorice tea. I just started drinking lots of water. First night, wake up, middle of the night and pee like, how did I even hold that much, right? But I normally don't wake up in the middle of the night. And then the next day, it looked a little better, but I still didn't have my normal legs back. Next night, woke up four times to pee. Four times. And just like, shink, got rid of it. But I was hydrating really well. I was staying away from salty things. I was staying away from licorice. And boom, my ankles are back to these little skinny ankles where you could see my bones. So you just, you have to flush. Yeah. Right. And if you're not, and I, you know, the other thing was I was wasn't drinking much because I was flying. And of course you get dehydrated when you're flying, but I fell asleep. I forgot to fill my water bottle up because you have to do it at the airport. You can't fill it up before you get there. And I got on the plane and I dozed off when they were coming around with water. So I'd gone like 6 hours without anything to drink, without any water. So well, dehydration.
And flying will do that to you, especially with magnesium. That's why, you know, when you're, it'll affect your muscles and your muscle tone if you don't move enough or take enough extra magnesium when you're flying. So that one's for Krisha. She's going to be doing some flying here.
Okay. But, yeah. If you're going on long trips, Make sure you get up and walk around. Make sure you buy a couple bottles of water at the airport, because that little cups that they give you and then they don't come around again, it's not going to do it. And I realized I had been sitting because the flight was delayed about a half an hour leaving. And I sat there. So 3.5, 4, I was probably sitting nonstop for 4 hours, 4.5 hours. I didn't get up. And, you know, I was dehydrated. And then by the time I got out, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so thirsty. I got to get water. And I actually asked the guy at the rental car place, I said, do you have any water for me? I'm so thirsty. And he did give me a bottle of water. Right. So, you know, we just have to, it's little things like that. Those, like Lynn was saying, it's just those little things like keeping the elimination channels open. And then it's winter. And so I'm not sweating very much. I'm, you know, anyway. All of that stuff.
So that's the foundational piece that I was just going to point out too, that there is the bowel boot camp in the grand program, as well as in the environment pillar, you've got the everyday detox. And that also goes through the liver detox pieces too. So, you know, anytime you're looking at things like heavy metals or whatever, those are the pieces you want to look at. And I didn't get to say anything to Jay before he left, but when he mentioned, and I didn't remember this from before, that his stress went up when he went to work, and both Lynn and I think we keyed in at the same time. These enclosed offices are a right place for mold and EMFs. So,
and it's in Houston, and Houston had that big hurricane last year, and Houston was pretty... It was pretty toxic. So that's a really good point. Maybe it's not that he's stressed out because of work. Maybe it is.
Exactly.
It's a toxic environment there. Yeah. Great, great clue. Great clue. Yep. Yeah. So well, thank you, everybody. And Jay, we're sending lots of love. If you listen back to this, or, you know, we'll just project it out to him so he feels it. And to all of you, I just appreciate y'all being here. Is there anybody else on the call that I missed? Because I'm not looking at the list of names. Let's see, participants, managed participants. Because I just see people who are on.
I know, Kathy was on for a while.
Yep, Sandy's here. Hi, Sandy. It was great to see you over the weekend. We have our different Sandys. We have Sandy I, that's Sandy Z out in California. Then we have Sandy E from North Carolina. She's from the East Coast. Yep. And then we have Sandra, who's up in
the Midwest.
So we are surrounded by Sandas.
Yeah. Although she was smart and left Wisconsin in time, so she's actually out in California right now.
Oh, good for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe where you guys are now. I'm cold enough when it's 50 degrees out. I don't want to be there. Paul and I were talking about what it was going down to minus 30 actual temperature, not wind chill. Sorry. You guys stay indoors. Stay.
I know.
Well, all right. Safe travels, Krisha. You know, all of our love for you and, you know, for dealing with the stressful situation and your mom's funeral and your son. And just keep all those things in mind that we talked about. And we're all going to just project you and your son a lot of love because he needs that. Okay. Mwah. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll unmute you. You all say 1, 2, 3, say goodbye. Bye, everybody. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye. You're so welcome.
Cheers for everybody.
Bye.
Bye.